Right, I'm here with Mark Sloan, here at a Civico in Birmingham, and Mark is the scheme architect. It's Mark who's put the plans together for the new community hub that's planned for the building. So thanks ever so much for talking to us, Mark. And at the minute, we're here in an office, and we've got so many plans and bits of paper, and so we're going to go through the plans. So Mark, what are we looking at? What are we looking at here?
Okay, so this is the ground floor plan and how it sits on the site. We've got a setting where we've got our building, which is Grade 2 listed, the former Sturchley Bournville Lane Baths, which sits next to Sturchley Library and the Friends Meeting House. To the rear of the site, we've got a former bowling green that has been not used for many, many years, which is linked to the Sturchley Park. We're sort of reintroducing a small play area to the back of the baths for toddlers, the mother and toddler group, and that will be linked to the main building and have access from the main hall, which is a similar arrangement to what they have in the existing community facility.
Okay. And I can see that there's links from Sturchley Park into this new sort of parking area, play area. It all looks quite seamless, really.
The community are quite keen that there are linkages between the park and the rear of the community centre. And we have to balance that with concerns from secure by design, but we're trying to give flexibility so people can have that access route through the area.
Shall we have a look inside the baths themselves? Okay, so we're looking now at the plans inside the baths themselves. Yep. Shall we start right at the front?
Yeah. So again, one of the main themes for the community were that they wanted all visitors to enter the building at the same point, the historical main entrance of the building, which is a really nice thing to do, and I think everyone would support that, including the planners most particularly. It is more beneficial to get everyone through that visually, everyone can see the main entrance to the building.
Yeah.
So we've had to introduce a ramped and stepped access to that frontage, which we hope is fairly sensitive to the building frontage and won't disrupt it too much. Everyone comes through that original main door and comes into quite a generous lobby, which when you get there you see the historical reception area that we're trying to recreate and repair as part of the scheme.
So that would have been the place where people would have come in to pay for their swimming or their public bathing or whatever.
That's right.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. You've got three routes to go, straight on, left or right. And that sort of takes you, left takes you to an internet cafe that we're creating and smaller meeting rooms and toilets. And then straight on takes you to the main hall. And to the right, there are further smaller meeting rooms for community use. We've tried to retain as much of the walls, original walls, as we can, although it's in a particularly bad state of repair, and the tile work in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to make it beneficial that we can retain as much as possible. The main hall, we're trying to sort of recreate that and retain that whole space feel so that people can see the whole building, the whole internal of the building as they walk into there, retaining back the balcony and the roof structure and the roof lantern. So it will feel as though you're entering the main space in the building.
Yeah, which would have been, well, where the swimming pool,
the main pool.
used to lie.
And we're hoping that we can give visual memories of the pool by lining out the pool area in the floor, demarcating it in the floor, and also having some hatch that we can pull up so you can see what's beneath there. We've got smaller flexible meeting rooms and community rooms dotted throughout the building, and that was born from the community engagement, really. They were very keen that we didn't have just large spaces or smaller spaces, and it's very much different sizes and flexibility throughout the whole building.
And you can see that here quite clearly, can't you, from the smallest of rooms where you could, you know, get a table and four or five chairs to a really big spaces. And what really drew my eye to it, Mark, was, as well as the main area where the pool used to be, is this sort of cinema space, really.
Yeah, and this really nice space in the heart of the building. It has a fantastic roof structure and roof lantern above it. One of the public's uses that could be used for is the projection of films. And we can get between 50 and 70 people in there at a sitting. So it's quite an intimate little venue for projection. The main hall space, again, could be used for weddings or public speaking. We can get around 230 or so people in there. And we're making use of the sort of balcony area, that raised platform area, that is historical and a really nice feature of that main space. And serving the internet cafe in the two larger spaces, we've got a kitchen area that is positioned so that it can serve all three spaces and make it more viable.
Yeah, so that'll serve the sort of cinema area, the main hall, and the internet cafe.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll have so much use that it's where it's positioned. Yeah.
Well, one thing that struck me, I mean, I've never been inside the building, and I know you have, is that when I've walked around it, there doesn't seem to be many windows light getting in there. So where on earth is the light
the nature of the building. There are very small windows on the perimeter of the building, the building's flooded with light from above. We've got the main space has a huge lantern that gives light into there. Mm-hmm. But the cinema room we mentioned that has a lantern over that. But dotted around all of the building, it's all top lit from above, and we're reintroducing all of the roof lights and lanterns into the space.
And there are, in fact, now I've said that, you can see them, can't you? There's so many dotted around.
Yeah. And then they're really nice, attractive lanterns. They're not just roof lights, they're sort of very ornate, and we're reintroducing those.
Yeah. So that's a really lovely overview of of that plan there, Mark. Thank you. You were saying to me earlier that obviously a big challenge is to maintain and conserve as much of the original historical features of the building, but there are some which you're going to recreate.
Yes,
you were saying.
I mean, external areas, we retrieve the original drawings from Osborne's, the architects who did the original design, and who are actually still practicing. And there were two areas that we weren't aware of that were evident on their elevations. We have a main cupola on the main entrance, but we weren't aware that there was a second one over the second tower towards the right of the elevation. So we're looking now to reintroduce that into the building. We think that over the period of history, it was taken down due to structural weight and problems. So we will have to strengthen that area of the building, but it'll be fantastic to reintroduce it.
And that cupola, the new one that you're going to be building, is a lot higher than the one.
It is,
The one that currently is the main one with public baths on it. This is a lot higher.
I think the one thing that when you drive around the area, it's as you drive down the Persia Road and view the building at first, that's the one that you do see, so that you can understand why the architects have put that there when they were originally designing it.
Yeah.
And the secondary one over the main entrance is more of a, as you're walking to the building, it gives you a beacon to head for the main entrance.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other area that we're looking to light the building, so it's an attractive feature for Sturchley in the evening as well. So we're focusing on those two areas in particular at low level, and then also the main chimney to light that, because it is such a landmark in the area.
Absolutely.
As well.
Oh, so that will be lit at night. That
will be lit, yeah.
Oh, that,
yeah,
that will be magnificent, yeah. Yeah. And one more element while we're talking about this cupola that did exist in the original plans, yeah, which will be brought back, is that there's a clock.
Yes,
as that, well.
That's the second thing that we hadn't noticed or didn't know about. We had one grainy, very grainy photograph, black and white grainy photograph, that does show a clock there. And that's something that, again, we want to reintroduce as part of the scheme. And we're engaging now with a historic clock manufacturer to sort of try and recreate that.
Wonderful stuff. So when did you go inside the building, Mark?
Probably about 18 months ago for the first time. And it has, over the period of that last 18 months, it has deteriorated incredibly over that time.
Right.
I mean, last time when it was about a month or so ago. And sections of the roof are now coming in because we've had such a severe winter with heavy snow loads,
yeah,
have created more problems for the building. So we're hopeful that we can get going as soon as possible and save the building.
We should say at this point, actually, we should have said it at the beginning, but the plans that you've drawn up have been given approval.
Yeah.
The big green tick for the plans, there's now a Heritage Lottery Fund bid that will be submitted in June.
That's right.
So hopefully work could get underway October, November time.
That's right, yeah. End of the year, yeah. We hope to make a start if everything goes well. But, when we hope. So, and it's sort of 12-month or so build from when we start to completion, because it is quite a complicated building. And there's a lot of restoration to go in. But between just over 12 months, maybe.
Yeah.
See the finished article.
So as a project, where does this sit with other work that you've done, other projects you've been involved in, and what's been particularly challenging about or interesting about this one?
The interesting thing about this one is the community engagement. I think we've been to so many public meetings, and I don't think I've ever had a scheme that has had so much and so many people wanting to know what's going on, and the amount of people that have turned up at the forums and meetings that we've had, it's been incredible, really. Other schemes, listed building schemes that I've worked on include the Museum of Jewellery Quarter and the museum there. And also Curzon Street is a recent scheme I've worked on, which is a Grade 1 listed building. But in the same sort of area, community buildings, I've designed Harbourne Swimming Pool as well, that has been completed about 2 years now.
And that's a sort of new build swimming pool.
That's a new build one.
Going back to sort of bringing an historic one back into use, the building.
Yeah.
Well, thanks ever so much for talking us through the plans. We'll make sure that all the things that we've been looking at as we've been talking at on the website with the interview, so that people can have a look as well. But thank you very much. Fascinating stuff.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.